Welcome to Living the Gospel of Life. We bring you the latest news and information on life issues to help build up the culture of life. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Gibson, CEO of Pro-Life Action Ministries.
And I'm Angela Erickson, a board member for Pro-Life Action Ministries.
Yes, Angela, how are you doing today?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. A little foot issue, but trying to get past it. So
the weather this weekend is supposed to be fantastic.
Yes, yes, yes. And of course, my concern is not this weekend, it's
the following
Good
week.
Friday.
Yeah.
Oh, well. So let's get right to the upcoming events. Since Good Friday is on my mind, we'll start with that. Our solemn Good Friday prayer vigil is, of course, April 3rd, all day. It starts at 8:30 in the morning, lasts till 4 in the afternoon. We've got 15 pastors lined up throughout the day, a good mix between Catholic priests and Protestant ministers. The day starts with the opening prayer with Archbishop Hebda at 9 a.m. Now, if you want to be there when Archbishop Hebda is leading us in the opening prayer, you need to get to the parking ramp before 8:30 in the morning, okay? Now, the buses will start running about 8 or 8:15 in the morning. The parking ramp is at the University of St. Thomas, same place we've been using for the past bunch of years. No charge for anybody to come in and use the parking if you're coming to our vigil that day. And the buses, we don't charge for the buses either. They'll be running back and forth, shuttling people all day long. It works so slick and so good. There is no parking available in that industrial neighborhood near Planned Parenthood. I know there are people who try to pull off parking in there, in that area. And some have gotten away with it, but some have had their cars towed. And if you park in some business's parking lot in that neighborhood, you're most likely going to have your car towed.
Yeah.
The bus thing works so well, there's no reason to even do that. Just park at the University of St. Thomas parking ramp right there off Creighton and Grand Avenue and ride the shuttle buses, and it works so good. So that's going on, again, all day long. We got all the pastors lined up. We're actually on our Facebook pages, my personal one as well as the ministry one, we're putting out who's doing what at what time throughout the day. We're putting out a different pastor each day, just kind of highlighting it. So, and Angela, this is a first.
What is?
We got a pastor, I think at 1 o'clock, Pastor Walter Moss, who's from Canton, Ohio.
Oh, wow. He
asked to come and do one of our meditations.
Really?
Flying in purposefully just to do his 5 to 7 minutes.
Really?
Next to Planned Parenthood. He's a leader in the black pro-life movement. I'm trying to think of the actual name, so I'm sorry for blanking out there for a moment. But there's the black pastors pro-life something, but he's a leader in that. He's been a leader in that for many years. He's written books. He's opened pregnancy help centers. He's done a lot of good work, and he really wanted to come and support us. So he'll be there. I think it's at 1 o'clock. We have him set. On Good Friday.
Plenty of time to fly in and
yeah. Well, and lots of and all our pastors. I mean, we got a well known evangelical pastor, John Piper, is gonna be there.
Wow.
We got many others throughout the day. We got priests in the afternoon, we got priests in the morning. So Father Randall Kazel, Father Scott Carl, Father Ryan, Jonathan Ryan. And many others. I'm not thinking of them all, and I apologize for any of their listening and don't hear their names. It's just my mind not keeping up with so many that we've got. But again, going to be a very, very powerful day, very, very good day, and it's a great time to pray. Do not bring signs. We have a life-size cross. That's our sign. Don't bring other signs. Don't bring other crucifixes. Don't bring all these other things. Come and be a part of what we're doing with praying outside of Planned Parenthood. So a great day for that. A great day for that. And of course, we're still finishing up our 40 Days for Life. Starting Monday, March 23rd, is the beginning of our Jericho March. This is a 7-day event. Each day at 3 p.m., Monday through Saturday, we will gather and pray and then we will march in silence around the block around Planned Parenthood in St. Paul. On Sunday, March 29th, Palm Sunday, we will gather and pray at 3 p.m., and then we will march around seven times. And on that seventh time around, we're going to get loud. And when we get done marching around, we're going to get even louder. And we're going to call out to God in glory. We will avoid the A word, not amen, but the longer A word that we don't say during Lent. So we avoid saying that, but we will still call out in praise of God around that building. And so that'll happen on Palm Sunday. So great, great week of marching, and then Good Friday right after that, a whole lot going on, and just a powerful time of prayer. So that's what's upcoming right now. I'm going to take a short vacation after it's all
done. You should. I think you should.
There's still a lot to pull together that you guys won't. Nobody will notice unless it doesn't go right. So there's a lot to pull together yet. But, you know, we have to pay for the police to be there. We have to pay for the concrete blocks to be put there. Of course, we got porta potties out there. We got buses. We pay for the buses. We pay for the parking ramp, all that stuff. And I'm not saying it to have people, hey, you know, if you want to make donations, go ahead and do that. But I'm not begging for money. I'm just saying there's a lot going on with this, that a lot of moving parts that have to come together to make it work and so forth. And so still working on stuff with that, but it's coming together very well, very well. 2 weeks out. So very good.
Hard to believe. Wow.
And the first biggest stories of the week are two babies saved this past week. So we had one out of our Orlando, Florida branch office at what's called the All Women's Center. Another baby saved there with several counselors, had this beautiful interaction with the mom and helped her get to a pregnancy center nearby and so forth. And then the other one was here at Whole Woman's in Bloomington. And it kind of a two-parter, because not only did the primary sidewalk counselor have a very good interaction with this woman as she was driving up, but then Deborah Brown, our education director, longtime education director, followed it up when she went to leave with even more of a great conversation and made sure that this woman was getting the help that she needed. So I just absolutely wonderful when those happen. We're excited. Excited. So, and then the biggest story out there internationally is that the Scottish Parliament, get this, listen to this very carefully, Angela, the Scottish Parliament, after 2 years of debating and wrestling, soundly defeated an assisted suicide bill.
I was so thrilled to see this. And I don't know the vote was what, 69 to 57, if I remembering that properly?
Yes.
Well, the other thing that was so great about it is that a lot of people don't realize Scotland would have become the first country in, is it in the UK area?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
So in the UK to legalize assisted suicide, right now, England and Wales, if I'm not mistaken, are also considering bills to legalize assisted suicide. But after this vote, it's very unlikely that it will pass Parliament in either one of those countries as well. So right. Very promising.
Yeah. This is the first time, I think, certainly in recent memory, where a country around the world has decided no. Who assisted suicide very soundly said no. And usually it's a case where it doesn't even come up to a vote if it's not going to make it through. But this time it made it to the vote and it got beat. And get this, dozens of major medical bodies and organizations came out against it. That's something you don't hear here in the United States or in Canada, where it's really bad. You know, but here you got the Pharmaceutical Society in Scotland, you got the Royal College of Psychiatrists, you've got the Association of Palliative Medicine, you got the Social Work Scotland, and on and on and on, including a coalition of major disability groups. They all said no to this. And so couple of things coming out of this also is a renewed focus on palliative care, which is really the answer for people who are depressed.
100%.
Thinking to commit suicide is what it comes down to.
Palliative care and mental health. I mean, that is, it's so weird because I feel like in this culture of death, every solution for every suffering and difficulty in life has just been reduced to, well, why not just kill them? I mean, that's poverty. Well, we might as well just sterilize them and kill them. If we have an issue with end of life, you know, chronic illness, that kind of thing, well, we might as well just get, you know, this is their version of eliminating suffering. And it's not eliminating suffering, it's eliminating people. And then their family members are the ones left to hold the bag. So they're the ones that have to navigate the grief of knowing. And, you know, we understand that suicide in any other situation, any other circumstance is a tragedy. And yet this is being celebrated because now we're hiring people to participate in this process. It's very, there's a lot of cognitive dissonance.
And we're further destroying the medical community in the process, which has already been horribly decimated by abortion itself.
Yes.
Over decades and decades of allowing the medical community to be involved in killing innocent human beings. Yes. Now we're doing it on a grander scale, and expanding it. And it's just a horrible thing to do that to the medical community. It's horrible for all of society. It's evil. It's immoral.
Well, the first part of the Hippocratic Oath is that I will, you know, do no harm. Now we have medical establishments that are doing exactly that. They are harming. They are killing.
Right.
It's like antithetical to the mission of healing, which so many of them.
Again, very, very good that they fought this off in Scotland. Very good.
Really good.
Gives hope in a lot of other places as well for that. Yes, so. Well, another big story is coming out of Clearwater, Florida. The city council in Clearwater passed a buffer zone ordinance very similar to the one we had in Minneapolis that we won a federal lawsuit against. Well, federal judge has permanently blocked this buffer zone in Clearwater. Instead of where Minneapolis realized they were in trouble and they decided to just basically amend their ordinance so it didn't do anything anymore, the city of Clearwater kept taking it forward and the federal judge took it down. So
good for him.
Thomas More Society again. I love it. Our attorneys. So congratulations on them. Yeah, that they do. Now, Florida and Texas have push forward another lawsuit against the FDA's approval of the abortion pill. This one was filed by Florida and Texas together. I think there are five other states that have already had lawsuits that they've brought against the bad changing of the REMS, as they're called, for the FDA for the dispensing of the abortion pill, mifepristone. Well, the Department of Justice, just like they have done in all the other lawsuits, has moved in court to try and have this lawsuit halted and suspended under their claim. Their primary claim is that they need to be given time to review the rules on the use of the abortion pill regimen. We've heard this over and over again with each of these other lawsuits. We've been told repeatedly by the Trump administration, from the FDA to the HHS to the highest officials in the White House, that this is being reviewed and it's going to be looked at and we're going to go through all this. Yet we see no effort and no process of review taking place so far.
Right.
And here they are asking to have it halted. So again, very concerning that they're not doing anything about it. Now, Senator Josh Hawley from Missouri brought a piece of legislation into the U.S. Senate. There was a counter piece going through the House of Representatives in the U.S. as well that would outlaw the abortion pill, basically. So that's there. But now he's opened investigations into the abortion pill manufacturers.
Ooh, I missed that story. Good for you.
Yeah, so they've already sent forward questions to Danco, which is one of the Danco Laboratories, one of the manufacturers, then Gen BioPro, which is the other manufacturer in the United States, asking for all sorts of information about the harm that the abortion pill is toward women. And so hopefully he'll get some answers, and there'll be answers that can be used to end this insanity of the free flow of abortion pills. State of Washington. So back when the Dobbs decision came down in mid-2022, probably about six, 8 months later, the state of Washington spent nearly $1.3 million in tax dollars from the state of Washington to purchase and stockpile abortion pills. I mean, a whole...
Yep, there was a lot, yeah.
And so many so that that there are 30,000 of the doses have already been returned to the manufacturers because their expiration dates have come and gone without any of these pills being used. They still have a bunch of doses, I think another 10,000 or so they still have. And now what they're doing is they're trying to make these available very quickly, because they're still these doses are nearing their expiration, and they're trying to get them dispensed so that they can have more babies killed in Washington. They're using the Department of Health network to try and find abortionists that will take these pills. They're using the Department of Corrections pharmaceutical license to allow the Department of Corrections to act as a distributor of the drugs to anyone, whether they're in prison or not. They just want to make them available. Isn't that crazy? All for the sake of killing babies.
Right.
Now, here's a little glitch to this whole thing. Because of how the use of the abortion pill is being done, those organizations out there that try to document how many abortions happen every year in the United States have included how many abortion pills have been purchased. Now, the state of Washington purchased 45, 50,000, whatever the number was they bought of these things, and those were recorded as abortions that took place.
Oh. Huh.
So we cannot trust the numbers coming from organizations like Guttmacher and so forth when they're telling us how many abortions take place
so
each year.
So interesting.
Yeah.
Huh.
Now we know.
So numbers are really inflated.
Absolutely. Yeah, we know that they are.
That is so curious because I'm thinking, you know, in a post-Dobbs world, that's kind of been a big part of this discussion, is that we've seen an increase in the number of abortions being documented because of the dissemination of abortifacients and things like that.
Right.
But now I would
amend what you said just by one little bit. We're seeing the number of abortions rising by the estimates being given, not by what's documented. Because they aren't documenting how many abortions are taking place; they're estimating how many are. So, and of course,
it gives this inflated sense, though, that this is more normalized. You know what? I think it seems intentionally deceptive.
It does, and when you take into fact that in the state of Texas, which was the first state to outlaw abortions, even before Roe v. Wade came down, they were allowed to, because their heartbeat bill was allowed to take effect before Roe v. Wade came down. What we've seen post-Dobbs is a dramatic increase in the birth rate in the state of Texas. Well, a dramatic increase in the birth rate coinciding with abortion becoming illegal is a very clear indicator that abortion has gone down rather dramatically among the people in the state of Texas. The abortions still happen.
Right.
Women leave Texas and go have abortions out of state. We already know that the Texas Attorney General is suing a couple abortionists around the country for mailing in abortion drugs into the state of Texas illegally. But at the same time, when you see this birth rate docket or data, you know more babies are being saved. So again, it's a very difficult time to know how many abortions are taking place in the United States in this post-Roe world that we live in. So, the state of West Virginia is continuing its advancement of a bill that would put the abortion pill reversal into common practice in the state of Virginia, making it something that is absolutely allowable, that is available, and being even advertised for in the state of Virginia, West Virginia. So very interesting that they're taking that. And a little significance with this one is because several states around the country that are very pro-abortion have complained that abortion pill reversal is not FDA approved, and therefore they try to make the claim, therefore it's not good and nobody should be allowed. And even I think Colorado and a couple other states made it illegal to advertise abortion pill reversal or talk about it at pregnancy help centers and stuff. Having a state say that it's perfectly fine helps remedy that problem as well. So mm-hmm. it's very good that they're doing it. And I think last week or the week before, we talked about how Wyoming had a new Human Heartbeat Act, the heartbeat bill, and was signed into law. Well, now we have a story that there's evidence that it's already saving lives.
Wow. Oh, that's so great. So
one of the abortion facilities had to turn people away because they could no longer do abortions past the heartbeat time. So they're talking about more than 10 had been turned away from one abortion facility already, as well as a lot of other indicators out there. So already saving lives. So, but on the other hand, in New Jersey, they have just included in their budget for the coming year $52 million to pay for abortions or abortion travel. And this is despite the fact that the state is facing a $3 billion deficit.
Oh, boy.
They're doubling down on paying for abortions.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Well, and it's because of this really ridiculous idea that abortion is a human right.
Yeah, or that it's good in some way, right?
Yeah, a natural good and a human right, yes.
Right. Well, in Missouri, in 2024, a pro-abortion constitutional amendment won in Missouri by the tiniest percentages. It was very, very close. And part of the reason it even won was the very seriously deceptive language of the amendment, which is usually the case in almost every state that's had these things. So in this, they included in there that as this amendment, fundamental right to reproductive freedom language was used. And then they included very clearly in the language that reproductive health care included, but was not limited to, prenatal care, childbirth, postpartum care, birth control, miscarriage care, respectful birthing conditions. All that was included along with abortion. Of course, they call it abortion care. But that was the deceptive language used to get this thing to barely win. Well, now the pro-lifers are putting forward an amendment to repeal that and to clarify everything with very clear language about what abortion is. And there's a new poll out that shows that it's winning, at least in the polling so far. And it's a 7-point plus percentage that it's leading by right now before the election. So giving great hope that Missouri will be the first state that's had a constitutional amendment in favor of abortion get reversed. And that would be very good as well.
I had to smile looking at the article here. I know the young man that's in that.
Well, I do too. I do too.
Yes, you do.
Saw Brody. You could see Brody right in the picture,
yes,
right?
I just sent him the link. I said,
yeah.
That is too funny.
So for the listeners, there's a photograph with the story that came out, and there's a picture from a Students for Life rally out in front of a state capitol or a capitol of some sort, and the guy holding the sign is someone we both know very well. Yeah.
So. He was in my pro-life group at St. Cloud State University.
There you go.
That is too funny.
Good young man. So, yeah. So.
Very, very pro-life.
Well, in Maryland, they have a bill that is going to do what our state legislature did a couple years ago, where they basically are going to make it legalize infanticide by making it so that when a baby is born alive, that baby will get no care. So if a baby is born alive during an attempted abortion, that baby will be left to die instead of getting the care that they should be getting. Of course, federal law says that once an infant is born alive, even after an attempted abortion, this is a legal person deserving the same protections as all other living persons, for that matter. So they're actually putting this in there, much like we decimated our born alive protections in Minnesota a few years ago. Yeah. New Hampshire Senate. This is also very interesting. They voted down a bill that would make abortion a right. That's a very unusual thing to be happening in the Northeast in the United States, because these tend to be very pro-abortion states, and New Hampshire voted it down. So again, some very hopeful things starting to turn as we get to where we are. Virginia, they wrapped up their General Assembly, and of course now they've got the language and the amendment going forward to make abortion a fundamental right in their state constitution this fall. And again, very deceptive language. And in Kansas, just signed into laws called the Pregnancy Care Act, protecting pregnancy resource centers.
Good to see.
Yeah, very good to see. And then in South Dakota, they just wrapped up their legislative session. They got three good pro-life bills that passed. One clarifies language on what abortion is, therefore eliminating the misinformation we get from the pro-abortion movement, try and state that it's all about miscarriage and stuff like that. They also are prohibiting the dispensing and distribution and advertising of abortion pills in the state, and they passed a law that requires a fetal development video to be available in the classrooms as part of the curriculum in public schools. So some very good things coming out of our state nearby there. So getting down to just the last few moments of the show here. In Spain, the Prime Minister, Sanchez, is pushing abortion to be a right. But the Spanish bishops have come out very strong and very clear. I love it when Catholic bishops speak out strongly against the killing of the unborn, making it very clear that life is an inviolable gift, that the killing of an innocent human being is always wrong, and so forth. So very good statements coming out of there. And then in Austria, apparently the students, there's an Austrian National Union of Students is what it's called. This is a something paid for by the students. They have student fees that they have to pay. Everybody has to be a member of this Austrian National Union of Students. And they administer out of this student union what they call their repro fund, which is paying for abortions using the student funds to pay for abortions. More than 10,000 university students across Austria have signed a petition protesting the program.
Oh, I love that.
Saying they do not want their money to be forcibly used to pay for abortion. So I hope they win the day on that one as well.
Me too.
So, yeah, very good. Again, Good Friday coming up, our all-day vigil. We got our Jericho March starting on Monday. Come and join us with what we're doing and stand for life. All the time we have today. Thank you, and God bless you.